It is still an active weather pattern in North America as Tropical Depression Cristobal pushes into Ontario and Quebec. But a very memorable 48 hours of destructive weather is starting to wind down with winds calming. But now the damage assessment is underway. We will do a crop check on today's Farmer Forum.
Live from the very heart of the hearty heartland via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we get the dirt on land values from Randy Dickhoot from Farmers National. Then it's our Farmer Forum featuring panelists Rock Ketchnick and Dennis Bogards. And right after the news, a quick update from AgPro Magazine from Margie Eckelkamp. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, like putting the needle on the record, let me introduce your beloved host, Chip Flory.
Good stuff, Davis. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy,
much.
How you doing?
All right. I'm good. We've still got some weather to contend with here in eastern Iowa. Stretches basically from Water. Well, you know what? It's further north than Waterloo. It's up around the Charles City area and even further north than that now, I guess. But it stretches down into north central Missouri. There's another line of showers that has pushed through the Chicago area. It's over Lake Michigan now. Could bring some issues in later. And then, of course, there is still the tail of Cristobal that is bringing some rains into Louisiana, the Gulf Coast states. But I don't know, and I'll have to check this with the weather guys. I don't know if we've ever seen a tropical depression make it this far north. The tropical depression, Cristobal, bringing that much rain into Iowa was only the second time in history, in weather history, that it's happened.
So you can't actually say that it was unprecedented, because there is a precedent.
Yeah.
It's right. What would you call that? It's a light precedent? I don't know.
It's a rarity.
I don't know how to... A rarity. Thank you for that. Yeah. A rural rarity.
There you go. Yeah. And the last time it was like 1880 or something like that we saw tropical depression bring this much water into the middle of the country and all the way into Canada.
Yeah. I was still in grammar school then. I wouldn't remember that.
Yeah. I know. Well, it's hard to remember those lessons from way back when. Dude, so now the wind is finally starting to calm down a little bit out in the Central Plains, Southern Plains.
Yeah.
And I should include the Northern Plains in that, too, because South Dakota, North Dakota also saw some high winds yesterday. I can't even believe some of the pictures of what that wind did to some crops. Just
now, are we expecting that to continue eastward and make it through our area and head over toward the Mississippi?
The wind will pick up for us this afternoon is what it sounds like, but it's not going to be anything nearly as bad as what they saw further west of us. So we'll have to deal with some rain here today, but the wind has not exhausted, but it's taken a lot of the steam out of it. There's no question about that. All right, we've got a lot to cover today. Let's get to it.
Well, we're focused a little bit this morning on economics and such. We'll start with the Federal Open Market Committee, which will conclude its summit today. Its thoughts on the timing of the economic recovery in the United States will be key. The Fed is expected to look into the second half of 2020 for the economy to ramp up. Economic forecasts were not issued in March, as the Fed believed it was too soon to fully quantify the impacts of the pandemic. No change is expected in interest rates, but focus will settle on how long the Fed intends to leave rates at its current 0% to 0.25%. While job numbers have recently improved, Chip, it is not likely that the Fed would take 1 month's worth of data as a sign the recovery is underway. I don't know if I agree with them or not. It does seem like there are signs the recovery is underway.
Yeah, yes.
Or not? Yeah, I don't know.
At least the bottom is in, I would say.
Okay. That's fair.
That might be more accurate. At least the bottom is in. Might take a little bit longer before we get into a full-fledged recovery type environment, but I think you're right. I think we're close to that happening.
The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development forecasts the world economy will shrink 6% in 2020 and sees the risk of more bankruptcies and sustained unemployment amid impacts of the coronavirus pandemic. It said the extraordinary action needed means policymakers cannot risk a premature withdrawal of lifelines to businesses and the most vulnerable citizens. A second coronavirus wave, which the OECD said is an equally likely scenario, could mean a 7.6% contraction. In the outlook, the agency sees the U.S. shrinking 7.3% in 2020 in the single hit scenario, but chip an 8.5% rate if the second outbreak does occur. While the euro area suffers a 9% contraction, Italy, France, and the U.K. may all shrink more than 11%. Wow. Chip.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And Dr. Anthony Fauci is very concerned, and he's becoming more vocal about his concerns that we could see a second wave of in the outbreak, if not because of riots and protests, just simply because the virus is still around and it'll flare back up this fall.
Sure. U.S.-China relations are at a critical point as the U.S. consulate reopens in Wuhan. The consulate was closed at the outset of the outbreak and U.S. diplomats were evacuated.
Wow. I think maybe the weather just got him. The consulate was closed at the outset of the outbreak, and U.S. diplomats were evacuated by the State Department. In a press release, the department said, quote, the department is planning to resume operations on or around June 22nd, although stands ready to modify the schedule as conditions develop. That is the U.S. consulate in Wuhan, where the outbreak started. All right, we'll get Davis back, I'm sure, before we get too much further. Right now, let's bring in Margie Eckelkamp, editor of Ag Professional. How are you, Margie?
Chip, doing okay today.
Good. Man, it's been a busy week for you, hasn't it? Keeping track of what's going on with dicamba.
You know what? Today marks exactly a week since we got the Ninth Circuit Court's ruling about dicamba applications. Interesting to note, the only state that was legal to apply dicamba in the Ninth Circuit jurisdiction was Arizona, but huge fallout across the country as retailers really hit the pause button on sales and applications. Now, as of Monday evening, we got word from EPA that they were allowing retailers to use existing stocks in the supply chain. But as applications have resumed, a lot of questions still linger. The Ag Retailers Association, the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives have sent a letter to the EPA Administrator Wheeler asking, for example, are sales that happened between June 3rd and June 5th, when we heard from EPA, are those legal? And so we are really still seeking answers. One other update that came about yesterday was the state of Illinois has resumed applications. They had paused since last Wednesday. Illinois also took the action of extending their application timeline out to June 25th, so extending that application cutoff date by 5 days.
Okay. Custom applicators with product in the warehouse, can they spray it?
That's a great question. I would encourage anybody who has questions to reach out to their state association, their state agriculture department. Okay. But my understanding is product had to be sold before June 3rd.
Gotcha. Margie, thank you so much. We'll be leaning on you for more updates later. Thank you.
Thank you, Chip.
We're going to be talking land values next, right here on AgriTalk.
Solving the soil health puzzle? La Crosse Seed has you covered. Get started today at lacrosseseed.com/partner or call 800-356-SEED.
Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk. We're going to be getting to a conversation with Randy Dickhoot from the from Farmers National here in just a second. But, Davis, I think there's one more news item that you had on commodity prices or the commodity price outlook that I think we should probably hear before we get into the conversation with Randy. What do you got?
Sure thing. Well, in a release yesterday, Goldman Sachs warned the rally in commodities has gotten ahead of the fundamentals, with the exception of metals. The bank advised now is not the time to get long commodities, citing the current oversupply of oil and other commodities. It noted the rally took the bank by surprise, given significant inventory overhangs, and it expects corn and sugar supplies to bulge amid potentially record-setting production. This as oil prices were pressured by an industry report that showed a rise in crude oil and fuel inventories in the United States, reviving concerns about lagging consumer demand amid a growing oversupply. And I hate to put that out there because we would love to shake out some of these shorts here. And then they mentioned the fundamentals, too. I mean, there's so much we could talk about on this. We've we've speculated, do the fundamentals really matter right now? And then they go to corn and sugar.
They went straight to corn and exactly, and sugar, or ethanol components.
Right.
Okay, so we've got you got your sugar out of Brazil. You got your corn out of it's crazy. So, this rally that has gone too far in the corn market has gone from a low of 325.25 in the Dease contract back on April 21 to a high of 348.5.
Whoa, Nelly.
on Friday, on June 8th. Slow down, corn. You're getting out of control. So, but I thought that that was important to get that piece of information out there before we have the conversation on land values with Randy Dickhoot. Randy is the Senior VP for Real Estate for Farmers National Company. He joins us right now. Randy, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well. We're all living in this, quote, new normal. So it's an interesting time for sure, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is, and it's a time when a 20-cent rally in corn gets Goldman Sachs to come out and say, "Ooh, hey, guys, slow down." It's crazy.
It is.
Okay. So as we look at everything that has happened during the social distancing and everything, have guys postponed auctions, land sales? Or did we just transform the way that these things are happening, Randy?
Yeah, like a lot of things, it's a little bit of both. We had some upcoming sales that were postponed, you know, looking to be pre- or post-harvest coming up. You know, people became more cautious in it. We also had auctions that continued in that late winter, very early spring, but you know, in a different way. They were sit in your pickup and it's in a parking lot at the county fairground or something, or online or that. So, you know, you have to have the tools in your toolkit to be able to sell today. You can't just do an auction, a public outcry, or you can't just list it. You have to have different ways of doing it. And so normal slowdown going into planting time, early summer, but there's activity. We're getting some new listings where people talking about auctions come fall, talking about buying. So the land market still goes on a little differently, a little bit slower.
Yeah. Okay. So the demand destruction that we suffered, we talked about it a little bit there with corn, sugar, and ethanol because of reduced travel. But boy, you look at what happened in the dairy industry. You look at what happened in the meat markets. Has it caused any regionalization on impacts to land values out there, Randy, or is it kind of a blanket impact?
It's definitely, we've had some different impacts based on the region and those fundamentals. You know, the commodity fundamentals, whether it's livestock prices or grain prices or dairy milk prices, all have an immediate effect on the producers and slower effect on the landowner that's leasing the land, and then a slower effect on the land market. But in some areas, you know, the dairy areas, whether it's upstate New York or Wisconsin or where, that had several years of low commodity prices and tough incomes, and now this hit with as things were getting better. Definitely, you know, we think farmland values in, you know, Wisconsin are down 10%, you know, to use a number. Iowa, I think, became more cautious in that time period, March, mid-March, April on, whether or not selling or prices a little softer because, you know, Iowa is a big, you know, livestock producer and the problems that came about. So that hurt incomes, you know, big ethanol producer, that hurt and has some dairy too. So then you get other regions that, probably weren't hit as much and good quality cropland was, you know, based pretty stable because there just wasn't much on the market for sale and low interest rates and people wanted to keep that safe long-term investment.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah, you said it at the start of the year, there was an attitude that conditions, economic, financial conditions were going to be getting better in 2020. And I think that had everybody pretty optimistic for the land market at the start of the year, didn't it?
Yes, it did. You know, we saw, you know, for the last 5-6 years, we've been expecting some more financially encouraged sales that we haven't really seen. We thought, you know, as we talked about, the fundamentals of farm incomes were not good. But land values, you know, didn't drop as much. Rents didn't drop as much. And so there were a lot of reasons for that, you know, low supply, low interest rates, and decent enough demand. And, yeah, first of the year, we had the last MFP payment coming in, and rents were paid, and we were ready to go again, and things were looking better. And then, wham, you know, you had the COVID and then also the oil price.
Right.
Battle, and that really gave a double wham.
Randy, you've been watching this land market and the ag economy for a long, long time, as have I. I don't recall such a shock to the system as what we're going through right now. Do you?
Well, I started farming in 1979, 1980, and farmed all the way through the 80s and 90s, kind of a period, as we know, the farm crisis and the kind of the low average or below average farm income years of the 90s and until I you know, got involved with land brokerage and Farmers National. And I would agree, you know, we today there's extra stress because equipment is more expensive. We have more technology to buy, to utilize, to be more efficient on the farm. And then we have more interest probably from investors in farmland.
Yeah.
There's more challenges with traceability, sustainability, changing, you know, whether it is or not, but changing weather patterns. You know, there, and then we had the trade issues, which agriculture's been through those.
Yep.
Usually farmers get hurt from those, and I think, you know, we all agreed, but luckily there were some support payments. But we've another period where farm policy has switched, and we've, you know, we have much more of the net income of agriculture coming from government payments. So,
yeah, those ad hoc payments.
It's unprecedented.
Again,
it's, unprecedented.
Yeah. Absolutely. With, you know, government outlays look to be a record in 2020 coming into the farm, into the farm economy, yet revenue is expected to be down again in 2020. Without these government outlays, Randy, this land market would be in real trouble, wouldn't it?
Yes. You know, that's that support that's there. It was part of what made a difference in 19 and early 2020 with better optimism. And, you know, there was cash there in farmers, and farmers still buy 60-80% of the good cropland that comes up for sale.
Right.
Or more in some regions. And so having that cash flow allowed them to have the financial resources and the stability to make a purchase when it came up for sale.
Exactly.
So, you know, has been very important.
Yeah, we've got about a minute left here, Randy. What's your thoughts for the second half of 2020 on this land market?
Well, there's kind of competing forces out there. You know, we have the low supply of land for sale. I don't expect any, you know, big increase in the quantity. It'll just be because of the normal fall sales coming, unless there's continued really financial stress that could put some more land on the market, because it doesn't take a lot. So don't think we'll see that. I think we'll get through low interest rates. There's decent enough demand. There's the wild card, though. You know, will the commodity prices, the underlying farm incomes drop enough? Will we get enough support payments to help get by another year? Will commodity prices start to go up? So a lot of wild cards, and will there be investors getting into the market too?
Absolutely. All right, Randy, let's stay in touch. We need to keep an update on what's going on in the land markets. We appreciate all you do, Randy. Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate it. Take care.
You bet. That is Randy Dickhoot. He is the Senior VP Real Estate for Farmers National Company. Okay, when we come back, it's Farmer Forum time. Rock Ketchnig from Illinois, Dennis Bogarts from Iowa on AgriTalk.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. You know, Brian, I was having so much fun this morning watching how the corn and soybean markets were trading. But then I noticed that that there was a freshly painted wall. So I decided to watch the paint dry for a while, and that was a little more exciting than what's going on in corn and soybeans.
Yeah, not a whole lot of action, Chip. A penny or two lower in the corn market, penny or two higher in the soybean market. And you know, corn's seeing follow-through selling from yesterday's poor close there. The soybean market getting a little bit of an uptick from talk that China was in. State-owned firms buying out of the Pacific Northwest yesterday. We didn't get any confirmation of that in today's update from USDA daily sales. No sales announced there. But I would anticipate that we should see something tomorrow in the daily sales on that front.
All right. And speaking of tomorrow, we've also got the supply and demand report coming tomorrow. What's your expectations there?
Well, honestly, it should be about as interesting as what the price action is this morning, meaning not a whole lot, just minor fine-tuning in all honesty. The focal points, I think, for the U.S. balance sheets are going to be the export side of things because China has ramped up purchases, but we do have the COVID-19 impact. So it would be interesting to see how USDA massages that on those export forecasts. So we do get a fresh winter wheat crop estimate as well. And then on the global side of things, I think watch the global wheat production numbers, especially out of the Black Sea region and Eastern Europe.
Right, right. Very good. And just real quick on the livestock side of things, we've got some pressure on most of the live cattle contracts. Feeder cattle futures also trading under pressure. And mixed trade in the lean hogs. Thank you, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. AgriTalk is brought to you by America's Conservation Ag Movement, a national partnership to help farmers scale conservation for their businesses, the environment, and their communities. To learn more, visit agweb.com/ACAM.
Hey, before we get to the Farmer Forum, welcome back, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. Senator Chuck Grassley is blowing on the embers again, and good for him. Senator Chuck Grassley sent a letter to U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue requesting, listen up, cattlemen, requesting that the Packers and Stockyards Division publicly release findings from its investigation into beef pricing margins following the fire at Tyson's plant in Holcomb, Kansas. The USDA's Packers and Stockyards Division was instructed to launch an investigation in August 2019, and a report has yet to be released. We need to get that information into the market so that we can make decisions appropriately going forward. Okay, let's get this Farmer Forum going. We've got Rock Ketchnig over in Illinois. He joins us right now. Rock, it's good to talk with you again. How are you, buddy?
Buddy, we got a whole different outlook on life this year in this part of the country compared to 2019.
Okay. Well, you know, bring Dennis Bogarts into it, too. Dennis is down in South Central Iowa, I'd call it. Hey, Dennis, how you doing?
Pretty good. It's a little wet today, but we're doing pretty good.
Okay, before we jump back to Rock and the change in attitude there, dude, this system has just been sitting on top of you all morning, hasn't it?
Yeah. If we'd have had this discussion Monday, I'd have told you crop conditions were almost perfect and we've had the right perfect amount of rain and we're just starting to get some heat and we're starting to side dress. I woke up this morning to a whole different story. We've had 4+ inches of rain and I got a river of water running across my yard and there's water standing everywhere in the fields and the rivers aren't out yet, but with as much rain as we've had in the last 24 hours, and we just got dumped on again pretty hard this morning, I'd be surprised if the rivers don't come out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. I've been watching that system. It just keeps training right on top of where you're at down there this morning, Dennis. It can be very frustrating. It's still raining hard right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's let up just a hair, but it's still coming down. And, our only saving grace is we have been fairly dry up until this point. So, we had some room to hold some of this moisture, but it's the point now we're totally saturated and everything that's coming down is running off. So,
gotcha.
It's changed a whole lot in 24 hours.
Certainly has.
That in farming stuff happens like this, but it's never fun when it does happen.
Certainly. All right, Rock, let's get back to your opening statement there. Things are a lot different right now than what they were a year ago. What do you mean by this?
It's so different, Chip, to drive down the road and see crops.
Oh.
Where last year we had thousands and thousands of acres of prevent plant. But anyway, we were very fortunate in this area. We're 30 east of Moline, Illinois, and we were dry early. Got everything, all the strip tilling done early, even the low areas we commonly would have to go around and come back to later, we strip tilled through, planted through, finished early with corn and soybeans, sprayed. Well, then we got to do a little replant. We've wrapped up the replant, corn and soybeans. Luckily, we only had a half inch out of yesterday's event. Had us prepared for 1 to 3, but as we know, it went west. And we're out working with irrigators right now. Hopefully this wind isn't an issue here in my phone, but July and August will be, hopefully we can look as good in July and August as we do now.
Yeah, well, we do have, and we're once we get through today's events, whether it's wind or rain or whatever it is, we're going to be taking another look at the weather forecast, but it's expected to dry out. Hey, just a reminder to everybody that the Farmer Forum is sponsored by America's Conservation Ag Movement. It is a national partnership designed to help all U.S. farmers more rapidly scale the adoption of conservation agriculture. To learn more about it, go to www.agweb.com/ACAM. Dennis, when we talk about conservation efforts, is there anything that you can really do to prepare for the kind of weather that you're getting right now?
It's always good if you can have good waterways and terraces and stuff like that. But, it's just at some point, you can't build a waterway wide enough for, this kind of a rain. I just got a text from a neighbor. He said, 60 foot wide waterway. And he had a picture of water running down this waterway all the way across the entire 60 feet. So, if that waterway wasn't there, it'd be, the dirt would all be in the river and there'd be a gully probably 3 feet deep. So, it helps, but it's important to do and to try to save the soil. But when you get this kind of weather, it gets kind of hard to hold it. So,
yeah. Yeah, definitely. Rock, what about over in your area? It's a little different soil type.
We've got everything here, Chip. We've got good soil. We've got have sand dunes. We have heavy type gumbo. Overall, we're looking pretty darn good. We haven't had near the amount of rain that Central Illinois got early. We had a 4-inch event that caused our replant, but other than that, we're pretty good shape in our area here in Henry County and the surrounding area around here, Chip.
Okay, very good. Hey, in the last segment, guys, we were talking with Randy Dickhoot from Farmers National about land values out there. Dennis, what about down in that South Central Iowa or Central Iowa region? Have you noticed any trends catching your eye on land values?
Haven't seen a lot of movement of land lately. It seems like the little bit that has moved, it's maybe down a hair, but it really is still holding pretty strong, especially when you get a couple of neighbors that really want it or something like that. It's land prices to me really haven't haven't gotten a whole lot weaker. Cash rent values really haven't went down a terrible lot. So it seems like it's kind of holding steady on those land values to me.
Dennis, doesn't it feel like there needs to be some kind of adjustment in, and I'm not saying all cash rental agreements, but it feels like there's an adjustment coming, doesn't it to you?
Yeah, I think all of us farmers kind of been holding off having that hard discussion with the landlords just because we keep thinking, well, we're going to get a little bit better market prices, and that way we don't have to renegotiate again if it does go up. And then we get COVID hits and the markets tank, and then you start looking at it again going, man, I wish I'd had that discussion. And so you kind of drag your feet. You don't want to do it, but I do think it's something that's going to have to take a serious look at after this year if we don't see some major improvements after, this all gets worked out.
Yeah. What about your area over there, West Central Illinois, Rock?
Well, we're going to have some real hard numbers here in 2 or 3 months. We're going to have yield, and we're going to have selling price, and we'll have our input costs. And, back in the good years, we voluntarily offered more to our landlords. We got a good relationship with our landlords. We voluntarily offered more during the good years. And it might be time now to ask for a little bit of help because the numbers are there. They realize it. They know what we're going through. And, it's going to be a tough time. It's just not going to add up. You can do the best job you possibly can, have the lowest input prices, costs you might be able to look at, and still it's not going to be profitable. So, I'm afraid adjustment is going to be a very important topic this fall when the second round of rent payments are due, Chip.
Yeah, no doubt. We talked also with Randy about government outlays and the fact that is helping to kind of underpin these land values out there. Got a message from a friend of mine in Eastern Iowa. Said that his CFAP payment showed up in his account overnight. Rock, what's your situation?
Talked with them yesterday. Our county offices are just overwhelmed with the amount of paperwork they're facing. They're trying to get all the employees back in the office. It's a federal matter of when they can get back in there and when we can go do our paperwork with them eyeball to eyeball rather than over the internet or through the mail. It's a real problem. We're getting tangled up on CRP issues with our certification issues. Whatever we can do. But, it's coming. We're on a list. And
yep.
I'll get to you as quick as we can, yeah.
Yeah, what's your situation, Dennis? Is the paperwork getting done?
Kind of similar. I've kind of been dragging my feet on that one. I've had a couple other projects to work on and just haven't looked at it a whole lot. But yeah, because I like to do that stuff face to face. But it's doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime real soon either. So I had sat down middle of last week and was just starting to look at it, and I haven't filled the paperwork out yet, but I need to get that done for sure. So hopefully that can get some of those offices open. And they keep calling and I keep sending them papers, but it's a real hassle trying to do it this way.
Right. Dennis, when we talk about these COVID support payments that are coming out, there are relief payments. If you are going to prioritize those payments right now between row crop producers, livestock producers, and biofuels, which would you call is most important to receive some of that support in the next round?
Sure. Wow. That's a tough one to prioritize. It's biofuels has really been hurt pretty bad, and which kind of trickles down to the crop guys, but the livestock guys with the packing plants, some of them being closed and slowed down and stuff, that hurts pretty seriously bad too. So I don't know. Over the other, I think they all kind of got to be looked at and how to help them. But really, we all just want the market to get back going and get things opened up and get better prices, so we don't even have to worry about it. But it's all an issue, and I really can't say that one's more important than the other, I guess.
Gotcha. All right, we've got a farmer forum going. We're talking with Dennis Bogards from Central Iowa. Rock Ketchnig from West Central Illinois. Now, when we come back, we got to get to what has been taking a lot of the headline space here recently from the ag industry, and that's that ruling on dicamba Does it change plans for this year? What about next year? Does it worry you going forward about additional restrictions on product use? We'll talk about it next on AgriTalk.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
We unfortunately do not know what Davis is thinking either. He might have been struck by lightning. I'm not exactly sure. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. I'm your host, Chip. Wouldn't that be terrible if it actually happened? I'm telling you, good grief. Oh. I shouldn't say things like that. Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Chip Flory. We are having a farmer forum today. Rock Ketchnig from Illinois, Dennis Bogards from Iowa. We were talking about getting paperwork done at the FSA office. And, you know, I want to call Michelle Jones at Big Sky Farm her. I'm going to start calling her an AgriTalk contributor, okay? Because she does such a nice job of saying, hey, you know what? The conversation is good. But think about this. For the benefit of the FSA employees, this is from Michelle, recommend getting docs in earlier rather than later. Do the acreage report 2020 ARC PLC contracts, program yield updates, CFAP, anything that you can do to get ahead of the deadline gives them some flexibility. And she said, listen, I know that technology and email can be a struggle, but utilizing farmers.gov, printing off the apps from online, etc., can really help the workload, and it just gives those FSA workers an opportunity to get things done when they've got a moment to get things done. So, yeah, work with them, and Rock and Dennis both know that as well, and it's something that everybody could do. Okay, Rock, this dicamba decision, how much of an impact does that have on you this year?
None at all, Chip. We've been in the Liberty program for a lot of years. I really haven't wanted anything to do with dicamba. I want good relationships with my neighbors. I value orchards, and we have been a Liberty program and very happy with it.
Good, good. What about you, Dennis? Is it having an impact on you this year?
Well, not too much, actually. For the first year this year, we went to E3 beans, and I'm kind of feeling good that I don't have to deal with it too bad with this issue too bad. I have a vineyard in my neighborhood, and we've just never sprayed dicamba in the last couple of years around here. But it stayed Roundup, and we're having a little issue with Roundup. So we went to E3 hoping that we could use Liberty near the vineyard and use the Enlist, on fields away from the vineyard. So it really isn't affecting me too much this year. I did text my seed dealer the other day and ask him if I could order beans for next year, because I kind of thought maybe Enlist beans would be in a pretty high demand for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, I got this tweet yesterday from at Everly Skywatch, and he tagged it, hashtag ag, we're talking everything. We appreciate that. He says, I fear that dicamba court decision is only a harbinger of things to come. Flush with the victory, someone will soon be coming after glyphosate and other crop protection products as well. I hope I'm very wrong. Does this worry you, Rock?
Absolutely. That's a very good point. And that's why we have to keep in contact with our legislators and let them know the importance of these tools that we have to produce this crop. But it's a very good point to keep an eye on in an early stage. Yes, it is. But anyway, hopefully the Roundup issue and the Liberty, the glufosinate, isn't as serious an issue as the dicamba.
Right. Dennis, I would assume that you kind of share those feelings with Rock.
Yeah, pretty much. That was my first thought, too, when this thing came down was, that gives precedent to start going after other chemicals, and that's not a good thing. So that was actually one of my first thoughts. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a comment from House Ag Committee Ranking Member Mike Conaway from Texas District 11. He's been on the show. He's a friend of AgriTalk. And he just basically said, I am thoroughly disappointed that our nation's crop protection regulatory process continues to be hijacked by radical judges like those in the Ninth Circuit. Margie, at the start of the show, said, listen, there's only one state in the Ninth district that this Ninth Circuit court covers, and it's Arizona. And so that's for a little bit of cotton down there. I would imagine. For a ruling to come from the Ninth Circuit on this and have such an immediate impact on, you know, potentially millions of acres in the middle of the country and down in the Delta in cotton country, it's just astounding to me that this kind of thing can actually happen. So it's pretty difficult to take. Rock, what's at the top of your priority list right now?
Spraying, get that wrapped up, some respray and some breakthrough issues. And then if we have the opportunity, we'd like to side dress some additional units of nitrogen on our best fields of corn. And I guess that's it, Chip.
Well, wait, whoa, what about food plots? You got anything going with food plots?
Oh, buddy, this is the best year we've ever had for food plots. We've got a big variety, more locations. Hope to get you out here again, take a look at them. Best ever this year.
Excellent, excellent. Dennis, what's on your priority list?
Oh, about the same thing. We were just getting started side dressing, and that's going to, as soon as it dries up, probably continue. And then getting beans sprayed for second pass is going to be a big one with this rain. The weeds are really going to grow fast and heat, and so we're going to have to get going on that pretty quick. And then I got a big July contract of corn that's got to go, and Cargill plant down here I think is short of corn, so we might be able to haul that early, so we might get started on that. So just always something to do.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you're keeping an eye on what's going on at EPA with those requests for some of those gap waivers, those SREs for 2014, 2015. It's got to be infuriating.
Yeah, they need to get something done and get that, you know, that just kind of all goes in line with all the crazy stuff that's going on. And we need some stability in farming. It'd be really nice right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You guys, thank you so much for taking part in the Farmer Forum today. You guys were great. Thank you, Rock. We'll talk with you soon.
Good talk with you again, Chip. Thank you.
You bet. Dennis, it was good to talk with you again, too. Take care, buddy.
You bet. Thanks, Chip. Take care.
All right. Yep. Rock Kachnick over in West Central Illinois. Dennis Bogard, Central Iowa. All right. Hey, that's wrapping up our first hour of AgriTalk for today. Thank you so much for listening. You got to come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Matt Campbell from INTL FC Stone. We'll get you ready for tomorrow's supply and demand report from USDA. And tomorrow morning, we've got NCGA President Kevin Ross, and we'll be talking rural education with Alan Pratt right here on AgriTalk.